Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Last Jedi one expository minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from alexrobinson.fun.
I'm Pete the Retailer from petetheretailer.com.
And I am Steel Saunders from the Steel Wars podcast and YouTube.
Welcome back, Steel.
It's great to be back.
Let's talk about minute 73.
Big minutes.
Minute 73, of course, we are talking about. It starts off with Rey asking why Kylo could be so low as to kill Solo. And it ends with Kylo telling Rey she should let the past blank.
Let the plast bank.
Yeah, so now we get into the heart of Kylo and one of the kids, Reylo. Yes, Reylo.
That's specifically for talking about their potential relationship and the fandom that goes with it. So.
Yes. So this is where we get the famous line: "Your parents threw you away like garbage."
That's right.
So we hear.
Mm-hmm. I think he's underestimating, you know, Rey's whole life is garbage. She's a scavenger. She goes and finds discarded stuff and finds it and cleans it up and turns it into bread. You know what I mean? And so I think, you know, saying that they threw you away like garbage is might not be the same. Although she does have a reaction to that. That is, you know, she does seem very upset by that accusation. But I was thinking, you know, like that doesn't. Or I thought of the movie Bottle Rocket, where it's, you know, it's like the kid Rocky is explaining to Dignan. He's like, yeah, you're like, you know, you're like garbage. And he's like, what? She said I was like garbage? He's like, well, it doesn't sound that bad in Spanish. So that same kind of a thing where him being like, yeah, your parents threw you away like garbage. And what that would have a completely different meaning to somebody who's spent, you know, their life on essentially core worlds and. Than it would to somebody who's all the way out in nowhere in Jakku.
Yeah. I don't know if she turns garbage into bread is the look to the happy side that you're hoping for. Sounds pretty bad, if you ask me.
What I like about your explanation, Pete, is it reminds me when like someone would say to like someone, "Oh, you're a pig." Well, thank you, because pigs are very intelligent animals, and like, I guess it's a way of saving face for the nerd or the receiving end, but coming up with an explanation like that almost seems worse than just being called garbage.
Like, Rey, you're such a jerk. A jerk is a tug. A tug is a boat. A boat floats on water. Water is nature. Nature is beautiful.
So thank you. but yeah, he does have quite a bit of passive aggressive negging in this one, where he's, you know, he says your parents threw away like garbage, and she's like, no, that's not true, and then he says, you know, you've been looking for a father figure, you can't stop needing them, it's your greatest weakness, Not that it is your weakness. It's your greatest of many weaknesses which you have.
So. Your weaknesses are myriad, but I think the greatest one.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a, you know, but yes, it's your greatest weakness.
Well, I mean, in that same, sorry, Steele, you, I feel like I love that in that same kind of accusation, you're saying, you know, you're always looking for a father figure, Han Solo, which I love the way that he says Han Solo, and I forgot the final count last movie on, well, you know, two movies ago in Force Awakens, how many times they said Han Solo as a full thing, not Han, not Solo, but Han Solo.
Right.
And the way that he calls his dad Han Solo in this, you know, very formal sense. Then he's like, yeah, you're really looking for a father figure. And, you know, Han Solo, Skywalker. So he says Han Solo in the full name, but with Luke, he just says Skywalker. Like not
Luke.
Right. Yeah. Just Skywalker. Like being very.
But I feel like he's saying both their names in the most like dismissive way possible. Like for each one, like referring to your dad by his full name continually, like that's very icy cold from a son. Like I don't even want my son like knowing my name is Steele. I'm daddy. Okay. Right. And that's where I'm going to work hard to stay. And then to refer to his former Jedi Master, Luke Skywalker, like just saying Skywalker is sort of the most dismissive way to refer to him. So I feel like he's doing a good job on his shading out there.
If you think about the alternatives, if he were to say Han, if he were to say Luke Skywalker and Han, that sounds weird. Luke Skywalker, if anything, sounds more impressive and more like heroic.
Yeah, that's
like
what I mean. If you say his full name, then you're like doing a sweet name drop.
Right.
And if you said Luke, it sounds too familiar, like, oh, Luke, like we're friends. So by calling him Skywalker, it's the most distancing. It would be funny if he called his father by his, like, Solo, by his, like, calling your own dad by your his last name is even stranger than calling him by the full name.
Well, it's like, you know, our friend Radke, who's his even his wife calls him Radke.
Right.
So,
not his kids yet, but
no,
we'll
but
see.
They will.
We'll get there.
I do what I would like to have. It's like, you know, you're always looking for father figures, like daddy or lefty. Like what if he was just totally going
That's his nickname for Luke is Lefty.
Yeah, because it's robot hand.
Yeah. My dad, robot hands over there.
Yeah. Wormy. Oh, you totally should have called him Wormy.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. That's a bit, that's a bit Mandalorian, I think. That's something they drop.
That would have to, that's a bit inside baseball for the normies.
Right. Well, that could have led to a whole, like who's Wormy? Like, oh, he didn't tell you? And then
Wormy's what another gives the Jedi his power.
Little flashback, kind of Rashomon kind of thing. Of like, when I was, you know, back on Tatooine, I was hung out with all the cool kids. And it's him, like, in this total, you know, like, high-fiving fixer and all this stuff. And then Ben Solo.
He'd be wearing a cape. He would basically be the Biggs of the, you know, he'd be wearing a cape and have a mustache and...
Right.
Yeah. Or just like Luke's eye view, his look back, he'd be Bart Simpson.
Oh,
and
totally
then when everyone else looks back, he's Milhouse.
Yeah, totally.
The but this whole thing about the Rey's parents and junk traders or clone Palpatine sons, this is where Star Wars falls apart for me. The whole double backing on Rey's heritage in the film, it's my least favorite. I would take Jetpack R2 and foul mouth battle droid C-3PO. I'd squelchy Jabba the Hutt getting walked on a tail by Han Solo. I would
Spider
embrace
legs.
It all. Spider legs. But yeah, I felt like that just like the fundamental moral message of the first two of the 7 and 8 was that you can come from nothing to change the world. And then it got turned to like, hey, but you better be related to someone and just not know it, you guys. So keep trying. Right. See you next year.
Well, then but, I guess the lesson becomes it doesn't matter who you're related to, you can still do what you want because.
Right. Nah, that's.
I'm saying,
because I'm overcoming okay, who so, you're supposed so, to be, but
yeah. But what story is that for? Like 99% of children or watching this movie, they can relate to the goal of like I've come from nothing and I can become something.
Yeah.
Compared to the 1% whose message is, hey, my family are all super evil, like. But I can, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's going to help. I'm not going to name names, but you might be able to add people's names in yourself with your own biases. Ta-da! Now be offended that you think what I said. Now, but yeah, I just don't think it's not like you can.
I'm not offended, but I have an explanation for that.
Thank you.
Which is okay. That if you recall, there's always tons of movies about fathers who are too absorbed in business and then have to learn, oh my gosh, my value is my kids. Like, the reason those movies keep getting made is because that's what movie producers are. Movie producers are workaholics who are like, oh, I spent so much time working, and then that relieves their guilt. And so you don't want to aim it at the general people. You want to aim it at the people who run Lucasfilm, who are all evil multimillionaires. And so this is like a way of saying, hey, Liz, so your kids aren't necessarily going to turn out evil. They can choose their own destinies. You shouldn't feel guilty about being so much wealthier than everyone else. Your kids are going to be fine. That's why. That was the lesson.
So it's not your fault your kids are pricks too.
Yes, right. Exactly.
They had a choice.
Right.
They had a choice.
They embraced their destiny. So, yes, that's the...
I will also... And I know this is gonna hurt you, Steele, but the damage was done in Return of the Jedi. In making Leia Luke's sister, it's just like, oh no, all the cool people you have to be related. You have to be, you know, like the Force, the Return of the Jedi and Phantom Menace are the roots of the problems and you know, films that I enjoy watching quite a bit, but the roots are, you know. The Force being kind of a hereditary, powerful thing, you know, the Force is strong in my family, et cetera, is where this all comes from to begin with. So the groundwork was already laid for these problems. And granted, yeah, we thought we were branching out, and Rey from Nowhere was a excellent kind of...
red herring.
Well, we thought it was a Swedish fish, but it was a red herring. It was an excellent way to go, and it would have been great to have that be that. But then it's not like a sudden left turn out of the, you know, we didn't change anything. We're just back to regular Star Wars with Rey
bloodlines
being, bloodlines and all that. That's at the heart of a lot of previous Star Wars, and we're just kind of returning to it, which I agree with you, but I also don't.
Yeah, well, with the whole, you know, each film someone else got more related,
right?
Like, generally, no one's related in Star Wars. Darth Vader's related in Empire. Then we add Leia, because originally the sister was going to be on the other side of the galaxy.
Sister, yeah. Yeah, Marie.
And then in The Phantom Menace, Anakin's related to C-3PO.
And Shmi.
We didn't know Shmi beforehand.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So you're saying it new. Okay.
It's funny.
And then we find Boba Fett's related to Stormtrooper.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the last one, we find out that after all, Owen was not related to Ben Kenobi.
That's right.
Right. Or anybody, really. That's so the only people that we thought were related.
Anakin's, he was Anakin's half-brother. Or stepbrother.
Stepbrother, but they're not related by blood. So the only people that like we thought were related from the get-go, that we open with Star Wars and Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, those are the only relatives that we see. It turns out now that they're not really relatives. They were, you know, they're familial connection, but they're not blood relatives at all.
Subverting expectations since 1977.
Also, the other relationship mentioned is Leia and her father. And of course, we later find out that they're not actually technically related either.
There you go.
Wow, this really gets complicated.
But again, going back to the point, kind of being made, or no, is that the point from the Rise of Skywalker? that it's not, you know, it's not how, it's not who your biological parents were. It's, you know, it's the choices that you make and the life that you live. And so that,
you got no one to blame but you for your problems.
Exactly. So that's.
Yeah. I thought the message was, remember how much we love Star Wars? Remember that first
right,
one?
Yeah.
That was good.
That's the underlying message behind all of this.
Yeah.
Well, here's another way that I think The Last Jedi is contradicting something we saw in The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Because, so it's, you know, if you look at the, you could look at the sequel trilogy as almost like a debate between two different versions of Star Wars. Because
agreed.
In this one, Kylo Ren is saying, like, you should let go of the past. It's all garbage. You know, and wasn't this a kid who just like 5 hours ago was obsessed with becoming the new Darth Vader and stuff like that? Like, he seems kind of fixated on the past himself.
Well,
yeah, very true.
But then in the course of this film, you know, his character is, you know, Snoke gives him that kind of talking to, that dressing right. down, and says, hey, you're never going to be as cool as Darth Vader. And he is.
Just immediately drops it and says, okay, now I'm not.
Well, now he's doing this thing where he's just like, yeah, no, like he's talking to himself as much as he is Rey here, where he's saying, like, you know, the past, you have to kill, let the past die, you have to kill it. He's like, I'm not going to be Darth Vader. I'm going to be my own Sith guy.
That's my new name, Sith guy.
Sith guy.
If anything, Alex, I think it's more of a case of, once again, The Rise of Skywalker not following on from The Last Jedi, because Kylo has, you know, he's moved on from the past. Yeah. And then back, when you go back to episode 9, he's got the Vader mask out again. He's, do you know what I mean? It's sort of, it's another thing that they sort of, it didn't flow. But it does seem like,
and he goes back to being the sidekick to the main villain, as opposed to being the main villain himself.
Again, we'll get there in 2 years, but there's reasons for all of that. It's all laid out in his character. It's there.
I'll see you in 2 years, buddy.
All right.
keep talking. I just had
One thing I do like is when Kylo Ren asks her, "Oh, did he tell you what happened that night?" And she goes, "Yes." And then he goes, "No." Like you wouldn't be reacting this way if you really did know what happened. I really like that that interaction there. And again, once again, him being super calm and her being, you know, frothing at the mouth about killing Han Solo. You know, that guy she spent a couple hours with.
Right.
Yeah. But you have to, I always go to Star Wars Court. And
you too?
I feel, yeah. And you've got to, it's got to be based on precedent. Like, there's, you know, you can have, you want things to get more modern and stuff, but at the end of the day, you've got a film that is all based on an original film where the Princess Leia loses her entire family, the population, and the planet. But then she's patting the farm boy on the back and it's like, oh, don't worry. Like, the hobo, I know you miss the hobo. Right. There's no, like, it's not a representative of how who should be patting on back. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like Luke should be like going, oh, Miss Ben, but at least I've got a planet. You know what I'm saying? Turn that frown upside down, Luke. Come
your parents,
on,
your pets, all your stuff. Your friends.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But just on that point we're making before about how it seems like the film's sort of contradicting and arguing with each other and not having that sort of laid out three-film plan. And people always go, oh, but look, George Lucas didn't have a plan. But he wasn't arguing with himself.
Yeah.
It was his concurrent. Like, as his plan changed, it moved all his, like, thoughts. And I know there's listen, Pete, don't do the evil, that little eyeball thing you're doing to me. This is much better in audio, less intense, I've got to tell you. But, it flows a bit more like a river, whereas this seems like that improv game where you're like, okay, we're here at the airport, and it's like, I'm on a river.
Right. But
and there's nothing in Return of the Jedi that contradicts Empire Strikes Back the way Rise of Skywalker does with this film.
Well,
like they don't go back and say, "Oh, you know what? I can't even think of any example of
I would say
your father was Obi-Wan all along or something where it's like, "Oh, that was kind of a, you know, anyway,
yeah,
I think in that ballpark is Return of the Jedi, Luke and Leia at Endor at night with Revenge of the Sith. The end, like they contradict,
right?
And unless you're getting some, you know, like, well, about how she remembers the mum and oh, it's in the womb, but it's like it's very I don't feel like that.
But that's
was the original
that's Revenge
intent.
Of the that's the problem with Revenge of the Sith, not. Not, but, that's not the problem with.
I mean, well, again, this is going back to. These are bigger yeah. picture issues, but I think that yeah. you know it does it totally does you know having Luke and Leia be brother and sister, kind of goes against some of the other things. Not
like they're making out kind of, constantly.
What?
Like them making out constantly.
Yeah. I mean, it you know, deflates the idea. It does seem like it was made by somebody else to kind of be like, no, we're not going to have this love triangle. We're not going to have that romantic interest thing. Instead, we're just going to have, you know, let's make them be brother and sister. And it's
my favorite Star Wars misconception is that Lucas and so, you know, some Star Wars fans are like, Lucas had it all planned out. Like, you know, and they show the outlines and all that. And I'm like, so are you saying that George Lucas had it planned out that they were brother and sister, and in Empire he's just like, ah, yeah, make out. Like, what sort of dude do you take him for?
And you know, again, if you read any of the stuff that there's a lot of examples of him contradicting himself, you know, within even within the same movie, just kind of as far as what he was working on and what the plan was. It was never.
He's
until the movie
narrator.
Came out, and sometimes even until after the movie came out, the plan was not established as to what it would be. So,
well, let's talk about why we're here. Luke igniting the green.
There you go. Look at that. Now, I have to say, when this scene happened in the first time I saw the movie, and that happened as I thought of you, Steele. I was like, oh, Steele's going to be. Look at that. That I bet that made his day. Did it?
I appreciate that. It actually didn't, because the moment he ignited the green sword, I was like, oh, he's not going to do it at the end.
Mm.
I just thought, I just didn't think, because like, that's what I mean. I was going into this film thinking, like, computing, trying to work out how things were going to work out. Mm-hmm. And I had heard that he didn't use the green lightsaber in the film. And I remember seeing, like, leaked pictures of old man Luke, and he had the walking stick.
Mm.
And it's like, why has he got that walking stick? Like, if you're going to have something in your hand, shouldn't that be the... Like, I could not comprehend a reality that Luke Skywalker would not turn on the green lightsaber. I was far more angry about the concept before I saw the film. Once I saw the film, I wasn't angry at all.
Hmm.
Because I loved, like, he didn't do what I expected, but I thought what he did was so heartfelt and well thought out. But beforehand, I was like, irate at the thought that he would not turn on the green lightsaber. And additionally, I did have my heart set on that the whole time the green lightsaber was in R2-D2's dome.
Oh, right.
And it would be like, it's poetry, it's all connected. Like, at the time we need it, he would shoot it. And I'd be like, my favorite thing just got redone. This is now my new favorite thing. But, yeah, I it's sort of like the Sarlacc pit battle is such, like, it's just the best thing. It just makes me so happy. And I so wanted him to turn it on. But how they ended up doing it, and this whole thing about how it's a bit of a, like, I am your father or sort of thing, where you see this and you totally, like, see Luke Skywalker's point of view, but he's a bad guy in this scene. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And the way they show the different things is quite a metaphor for the film in pop culture, in that depending what perspective you are watching this by, with what biases you have, that it's like a great thing or a bad thing, or it does this or the other. Because, do you know what I mean? If my uncle came into my just the thought of that is horrific. I was just picturing them. Came into my tent, you know, with a sword, I'd be like, what's up with, you know, I think this is the worst thing. And so it was very tough, but how it all played out. I should add, just with my enjoyment of this film, about 2 hours later, after recording a podcast or whatever, I was driving to the airport just thinking about it and how Luke ended and inspired the galaxy. I just, like, burst into tears just at how, like, I thought that was such a good way to go, with like inspiring people, not through his sort of power or brute strength or, you know, like a video game thing, but just like what he, because it's not necessarily in history what people do, it's what they inspire. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I came to terms with it very quickly. But, oh my God, before the movie premiere, me was just, I would have a very high rating YouTube show if I stuck with that.
Released some of that venom.
Yes.
Well, why, while we're here, while we're talking about this, why do you think that at the end, the crate battle, when he shows up, why do you think he's not wielding the green lightsaber? Is that just so we as the audience have an inkling that it's like, wait a minute, that lightsaber isn't working right now. Why is he, if something's not right? Is it just to give us that little, like, internal trepidation that we're supposed to know something's off? Or
is it not working? Remind me why he doesn't have it.
Well, no, not the green one. We don't know why the green one isn't working, I'm saying, but when he shows up with the blue one, are we supposed to be like, wait a minute, that lightsaber just broke.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Why is he
yeah.
carrying that? Like, are we right. supposed to, is that supposed to trigger something in our brain where we're like, this isn't real? Or, I don't know, what's your take on it?
I'm trying to remember what Rian Johnson said was the reason, because I remember like hearing it and going, well, I wouldn't have done that, but I like your reasoning is solid. I think part of it, or definitely what adds to it, is that lightsaber was destroyed. So part of the, because you know what I mean? Like I didn't realize he wasn't on crate for,
right,
you know, quite a while into it, even though when you watch it the second time, you're like, oh, the sand doesn't move and all that good stuff. So I think that's like one of the tells, along with the haircut and stuff. But
you're saying, why did Luke do it, is what you're saying.
Right. From a, we know why Ryan might have done it. Why did Luke do it? That's the question.
Got you.
I always think that, my hypothesis is that the image you see of Luke is influenced by your perception of it. So it's almost like if I were to show up in as a Force ghost in front of either of you, your perception of me would influence how that Force ghost looked. Because why would Luke go through the trouble of making his Force ghost look younger and like,
well,
to me, it looks like he looks the way last time Kylo Ren saw him. So that's why Kylo Ren sees him that way, is because it's like that. But then again, Leia sees him, and that doesn't seem to. Anyway, and I don't know.
Everybody sees him first.
Nostalgia? Maybe he just wanted to do it for old time's sake? Hold the old blue again?
Can't do it, Lukey.
I don't know. It's hard to work, because once you think about the haircut and stuff as well, it's sort of more, you've got to go with the movie aesthetic hinting at the plot reveal rather than the in-universe stuff sort of thing. Like I had this discussion with someone once about Snoke's throne room, and they didn't like it because it's like, it's just a red sheet. It's nothing. And it's like, yeah, but it's that. So then it catches on fire. And then as they fight it, it burns and it, you know, it reveals the Star Destroyer and all that. And it's such a great visual.
I can't wait for that part.
But they were just like, yeah, but why did Snoke have, like, why would he just have a red sheet? And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's for the aesthetic. Like, why fight next to a volcano?
I think the guy wearing the gold pajamas would absolutely not be out of line having just red sheets for walls. I think his aesthetics are not consistent, at least understandable.
Yeah, and ignoring the irony that they're in a giant room that typically does have a big red sheet at the front of the room before the movie starts.
It is very theatrical, his throne room.
Yeah.
God, I gotta tell you, that Snoke in the gold robe, it's just one of my favorite things. It just makes me so remarkably happy. Slippers. I love that he's comfy, because if you were going to be a supreme ruler, get comfy.
Yeah.
Have some pizzazz. Yeah. That's bloody Palpatine getting around in that old sack. Nah. Although knowing that we know now, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
I'm coming around to it, and I think that, you know, basically he has a choice. Luke has a choice here between, all right, what's going to get Kylo Ren more angry and distracted is if I show up with the lightsaber that I threatened him with, and it's going to make him angry, or he's still, you know, Luke doesn't know that he's trying to let the past die. If he's still obsessed with Darth Vader, let me show up with Anakin's lightsaber, with the one that he's into.
As far as he knows, was destroyed. So he's like, what? How did they get it back? What?
Well, Luke might not know it's destroyed. I don't know.
Oh, right.
I think that might have been the reason that Ryan, that he gave, it was to taunt him because he wanted it. You know, like he said it was his in the last episode, in the last movie and stuff.
He's just showing up wearing like a Darth Vader helmet and being all like, look, I'm Darth Vader. You know, like
Darth Vader Jr. like on his shirt.
But whatever the reason, I did think that when we saw it in this minute, I was like, oh, damn it. Bloody rumors being right.
It's and I love the look. We just talked about this a little bit, but the that you see the light from it, and you hear the sound of it before you actually see it.
It's the ignition that probably wakes him up, because
his
eyes are closed, the light goes on, and then he kind of...
Yeah, he should have ignited it outside and then come in, snuck in the door.
Ben Solo would be dead now if that had happened.
Boo, boo! beep beep. Is that that ignition song?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I like that Luke's eyes are all red when he looks much more evil in the in Kylo's version of the flashback. It's kind of a fun little
detail. It totally should have, you know, like I love that it's played up. It's from the point of view of mm-hmm. you know, the frightened child.
Yeah. Do you think they ever talked about it afterwards? Like, did Luke ever explain, oh, no, wait, it was just a momentary thing? Or, like, I guess they never interacted after that?
It was training. Mm-hmm. I was trying to see if you were ready. You're ready. Good. That's today's lesson. Go back to bed.
Yeah.
I think they clearly did not talk about it afterwards.
No.
Yeah. God. Who hasn't almost killed their nephew because they might have suspected they were the greatest evil the galaxy has ever known? Come on.
I know.
One day you'll understand, Kylo. You'll have a nephew of your own, and you'll see why you wanted to kill them.
Or even you're just a teacher. A random, like, you know, one day my third grade teacher is going to show up and try to kill me again.
One interesting thing is when you see Kylo reach for his lightsaber on the table, he keeps it on his nightstand. And as someone who keeps his phone, his glasses, some chapstick, some cough drops, and tons of other stuff on my nightstand, I would say it's very dangerous to keep a lightsaber like where you think you're reaching for one, you knock it off. And I just thought that was kind of funny that he just kept it. He doesn't keep it in like a stand or like a designated place. He just throws it with his keys in his wallet, his lightsaber in his little coin basket.
He's got it next to his calligraphy set to be. Mm.
Well, that was the other thing that struck me is a pen. I don't think we've ever seen a pen and paper in Star Wars.
Hmm.
I mean, we see paper later on, or I guess we saw them earlier, the sacred texts. But the fact that Kylo was like could write was an interesting.
Maybe that's why he was going to the dark side. They're like, he's doing this stuff we don't understand with like scratching these weird shapes on a flat piece of tree. But also that like I do love him reaching it. Like he hears Luke ignite his lightsaber and he reaches out and he grabs rushes out to face him with a chapstick.
As long as it's the mint chapstick, so it's the
pops the top off like as if it's gonna do something.
Yeah.
Well, that also leads to my next question, which is, where is Kylo Ren's blue lightsaber now?
I assume it was blown up in the temple, or maybe he took it with him.
I would think he wouldn't just take off without. You know, he would keep his lightsaber until he had a new one built. Does his blue lightsaber form the base for his red cross lightsaber? Is that essentially, does he go on and modify it? Well, let me look in the...
I don't think it looks like it's a different hilt.
I have a feeling like there's a bit of it that's the same that shows some evolution, but I'm not...
I'm sure there are a bunch of... Oh, wait. I can hear a bunch of nerds now yelling me this was all explained in the Kylo Ren miniseries.
Oh, gosh. Mm.
So Pete will look it up.
I'm just having a quick look in the visual dictionary.
Steel, do you have your own green lightsaber yet from, like, Galaxy's Edge?
I don't. Not from Galaxy's Edge, but I do have some friends got me a present that I've always wanted is the green lightsaber hilt that...
Nice.
Eric Struthers from the Bad Motivators podcast made, and it does have
cigarette lighter.
The I wish the green saber and stuff that screws onto it. But I just like the hilt because when it's just the hilt, it seems like it's out of the movie.
Yeah,
and then when it's got the blade, it seems like it's like out of target.
Yeah,
so my cynicism kicks in.
Yeah. Right now, it has the potential to be a real lightsaber. Once that plastic blade is in there, it's just a toy.
Plus, as you said, the hilt is the part that pops out of R2-D2's head.
Yeah,
that's true. So, going back to that, would it be funny if R2 hasn't used it in so long that like you know it has all cobwebs or you know it just falls out, it just dribbles out instead of being shot out.
Alex, that would not be funny. That's worse than the bubble opening at the start of the film. You don't.
I like that they're like first there's like a puff of dust as the thing and it doesn't come out, and then like you know
they have to pick up R2 and shake him to get it to come out.
But it creates another thing of tension where, like, Luke really needs his lightsaber, but it's like, and it's stuck in R2's head, and then finally, like, boom, and you get it.
Yeah. You guys.
It's Jar Jar the nuts.
You guys, Seth MacFarlane's Ghost Rider or something.
I do not see any discussion of Kylo Ren's lightsaber in the visual dictionary, so I do not, I'm not sure what to make of it.
It's this part of Star Wars is really, it's when, you know, we're talking about the films disagreeing, but then like the comic books begin to like, does that make sense with what happens in the next film and stuff? They really, they really muddied the waters, and it really threw me out of it. Like in Star Wars, it was sort of just like how, like all this stuff just didn't like match.
You mean for Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. And like the backstory of Snoke and stuff, like, and like either one is fine. Either Snoke backstory is fine with me, but just pick one. Like it seems like they sort of contradict, and it wasn't till like The Mandalorian that sort of got me, I got to start somewhere else and go, I'm going to believe in all this now.
Yeah.
I've been handed an update. It is the same saber. He adapted his blue lightsaber into the red lightsaber that we know and love.
That he tried to, because you can corrupt the crystal to make it go red.
If you torture it.
But I think he did it wrong and it split, and that's why it's got the cross guard bit. But that could be me just having some sweet, sweet head cannon.
According to this, he was it was modeled after kind of more kind of ancient sabers that were used in previous battles. A cracked kyber crystal. You're right. Yes. There you go. Incorporated a crossguard hilt based on an ancient design dating back to the Great Scourge of Malachor, and contained a cracked kyber crystal, requiring it to have lateral vents on either side of the handle in order to divert the extra heat generated by the crystal. So, yes.
Ten points for steel.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything else for minute number 73?
Liar. That's the other thing. Where she, the way that Rey says liar here is totally, again, this is good acting on both sides of this conversation, where she's saying liar in a way that is not, well, not the same way that she was angry before. Now she's just like, liar, like she doesn't really believe it. She's just reaching, grasping at what her stance is, and so it's good acting there.
Yeah. Daisy Jazz Ridley. Daisy Isabel Jazz Ridley.
There you go.
I've got to say, nothing makes you more look youthful than the green glow of a lightsaber. Young Ben Solo here.
Yeah.
He's
supposed to be 24 at this time.
He was so innocent and young.
I thought he was like 16 when I first saw it.
Yeah, same.
They really play fast and loose with the... I think they try to make you think that, but even though canonically it was only 6 years earlier.
Right.
So, but they never specifically say it was 6 years ago that happened. So you can kind of put whatever age you want on it.
And nor should they. Nothing ruins Star Wars more than dates and measurements of time.
Never bring a date to a Star Wars film. So is that it for number 73 then?
I believe so.
Believe so. A dream shattered. A boyhood dream.
Mm.
So Steel, you are the host of the Steel Wars podcast.
I am the host of the Steel Wars podcast.
Plug that a bit for a second.
Available all over the internet. Mm-hmm. Probably right now we would be deep into Bad Batch Disney Plus live streaming roundtable episodes. We cover all Star Wars news and we do interviews, not as much as we used to, but now and then. And it's all on YouTube. And I guess one thing, an interesting thing to check out is I made a video not too long ago about me interviewing Rian Johnson and the look on his face when I'm sort of like saying to him how Luke has to ignite the, I say ignite the green to him. And in retrospect, looking at the look of like, I can't sell what I'm feeling inside on his face is, yeah. It's very sweet. And, and in mentioning Rian Johnson, I can't say enough for some, how someone has handled themselves against just such like lunacy. That dude is a saint. And when you find out he, what are they all making? $200 million each or something for that, those Knives Out sequels.
Oh, right.
It's just, yeah. Like, it's just like, yep, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So, and I mean that in sincerity, it could not happen to a nicer guy. So there you go.
It luckily seems like not only was he a big Star Wars fan beforehand, but it seems like he still is. And the experience of making the movie and the kind of experience of releasing the movie and having people, half the people freak out, neither one has really soured his appreciation for Star Wars. That's a good, I don't know if I could handle that.
So, oh, I can guarantee him. You I couldn't handle that. I would be... I'll be hammering back.
Yeah.
I guess that'll wrap up minute number 73, and we will hammer back on another episode tomorrow on
Star
next
Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute. Yeah.